When you do, let them know you heard the broadcast here on WTRJ The Truth. John MacArthur is also brought to you in part by Ginn and Paetro, PA, a full-service law firm located in St. Augustine, serving all of Northeast Florida. They frequently service clients in the areas of estate planning and wills, probate, and business law. The firm's slogan is based out of Micah 6:8, to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. The office is located just steps from the beach on A1A Beach Boulevard, just south of the St. Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. We'll be talking about an issue today that I believe most are familiar with. Many have not wanted to verbalize it. The consequences of the Trump derangement syndrome. We all understand that term, the Trump derangement syndrome. I believe every Democrat in America has that Trump derangement syndrome. There's nothing that Trump could do that will satisfy the left, the Marxists, the socialists, the communist movement today. There's nothing he could say. You've heard me say before, I believe President Trump could walk on water and cure cancer overnight, and all of a sudden there would be a irrationality in their speech. That is there, the Democrats on the left, that he's done something wrong, he didn't do it right, didn't do it in time, why did he wait so long, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what are the consequences of that kind of mindset? What are the consequences today for the citizens, for we the people? How does it redound to our detriment or benefit? What is happening in the state of Texas with the major floods? We'll talk about that and how that interconnects with the Trump derangement syndrome and what they're blaming Trump in that particular area about. What is the problem? Lord Jesus said in Matthew 12:25, and I'm going to paraphrase for the benefit of our listeners, that a divided house, a divided nation cannot stand. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're divided today more than in my lifetime that I've ever seen. I'm still under 100. We're a divided nation. And when a calamity comes, there ought to be the mindset, as you find in Isaiah 1:18, where there's the invitation, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. There's a need for a coming together in the time of tragedy to reason together, to be a comfort and encouragement and a benefit and a blessing. Listen, we'll talk about it further in the broadcast, but with the 165 rescues made by just one Marine, I believe it was a Marine, that was assigned to the duty of trying to rescue those in the floods in Texas. He didn't ask, are you a Democrat or Republican? The ones being rescued didn't say, hey, the hand that you're putting out to save my life, are you a Democrat or Republican? Are you a MAGA person? Did you vote for Trump? None of that took place, ladies and gentlemen. There's been about 850 rescues so far as a result of the Texas floods. We're going to talk about that today, and I'd love to hear from you. Your thoughts, your insight. Where are we headed? What's the answer? The big, beautiful bill? A lady, one of the news anchors, had a person out on the street, so to speak, asking questions. And one of the questions asked to a young lady was, what do you think about the big, beautiful bill? She says, it's bad. And he looked at her and said, how? And she just stuttered for a moment. She says, I don't know. She was just regurgitating what the Democrats have been saying now for months and months and months. It's bad. We're going to talk about that also. What's bad about the big, beautiful bill? What's good about it? Is it beneficial for Americans? Or is it a detriment? Would it destroy our so-called democracy, as the Democrats want to harp on? Or will it be a boon to the economy and a blessing to every American citizen? What is it about that that causes the left, the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, what is it that causes them to be so hostile and so angry? Even to the point now, I just read an article this morning where some leadership in the Democratic Party is saying, we need to go out, I'm paraphrasing, we, talking about Democrats, need to go out and get shot if necessary to make our point against Trump. Now, we've reached a new low when you find those rather than being encouraging and challenging and thanking God for those being saved in the flood, where there are physicians and others that are applauding the drowning and the deaths and the horrific results of the floods in Texas just because President Trump is president. We're going to talk about that, and lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue today. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's called the Truth Book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I normally do not try to exegete that couple of verses for your hearing. Time does not allow it, normally speaking. But listen to what he's really saying. If you continue, constantly dwell on, stay in my word, talking about the word of God, then you're my disciples indeed. That means you're truly a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ if you stay in the word. And he says, and then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's the truth of the word of God that sets us free. And when we look at the scripture, we understand that God gives us the information about the past, present, and the future of this whole world, and that which is recorded between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, there's a declaratory statement made, thy word is truth. And in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. That's a pretty long period of time. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that we're living in that era today. Factually, living in that era. The more society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't make any difference what culture you're in, doesn't make any difference about your geographical area, makes no difference about your ethnic background, makes no difference in relationship to your denominational dogma. Truth still stands, and we need to stand for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made this statement. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. And then you find in the latest survey, the headline of the article I'm looking at says, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, according to this survey, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, the survey says that they're saying, the millennials, each person determines their own version of truth. This is the reason the socialist, Marxist, communist, Islamic, that won, I believe, 52.6% of the primary vote for mayor of New York. He brags about the fact that his voters came out of the enclaves in New York, of the millennials, mostly highly educated, they're calling them, whites. Yet they do not understand that socialism has never worked on a global basis, any place, any time, any country, any nation. But they believe somehow, some way, that the utopian idea that he is promoting will bring about that which is beneficial for all of society, not realizing and recognizing that it does not work that way at all. It will destroy what would be called the poor, the underclass, the middle class, and only the upper crust, only the power oligarch would be in control and a Marxist, socialist, communist regime. And yet that's what many of the millennials are wanting today and seeking today and voting for today. We need to go back to truth, the truth book. I go back to a 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said, faithful Christians seek the truth. Listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. We love the truth, look for it, seek it, and stand for it even if it means death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of 100 generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. You say, how did I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flies the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you. It's heartbreaking as we look at the tragedy that's taken place in Texas. Almost inconceivable, incalculable as far as the loss. But yet we watch some of the video footage, ladies and gentlemen, see the carnage and the destruction. It's hard to fully embrace. It's hard to take it all in. I don't know about you, but as I watch some of the footage, I'm just breathtaking with the power of water that rises, in that particular case, to about a 29-foot, some writer said it's a 30-foot level. But it was just in a matter of just about 45 minutes, that it went from just a little heavy rain to a major, major 29-foot flood stage that flooded all the banks of the river and destroyed dozens of lives. In fact, I believe total number of lives lost as of now is about 104. They've had 850 rescues. But ladies and gentlemen, the tragedy struck major areas, one of those being Camp Mystic, that had a campsite for a Christian campsite for little girls. I don't know how many total is there. I've not read any article that gives us the total. But ladies and gentlemen, somewhere between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, with no cell phone warning, with no sirens, no warnings at all, yet we understand that the weather report and the notices started telling them that the rain was going to be as much as 7 to 12 inches. But no one, the President Trump didn't know it, President Trump didn't cause it, President Trump didn't send the rain, God did, no one realized that it was going to be as much as it was. And the force of the floods wiped out the trees, cars, houses, crushing lives, dozens still missing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. Texas flood victims furious as local officials blame Trump's National Weather Services over the failed warnings. Victims of the flash flood wreaked havoc on central Texas are infuriated as local officials blame the National Weather Service for failing to warn communities of the dire threat before it was too late. As of Monday afternoon, at least 91 people, including 28 children, have been killed in the devastating floods that have been sweeping the Lone Star State since the early hours of the 4th of July, when rapid rainfall caused the Guadalupe River to surge more than 30 feet above its normal level. Rescue teams are frantically searching for dozens of missing victims, including 11 girls and counselors who were at Camp Mystic, a Christian summer camp along the river of Kerr County, when tragedy struck. Further in the article, it says, the federal agency that issued a flood watch Thursday at 1:18 p.m., estimating up to 7 inches of rain on Friday morning in south central Texas. A flash flood warning was issued at 1:14 on Friday, with a more extreme warning coming at 4:30 a.m., urging people to immediately evacuate to high grounds as the situation became extremely dangerous and life-threatening. For many victims, the issue wasn't about politics or who had failed, but that nothing gave them warning of the water as the water rose, leaving them in dark until it was too late. This was a forecasting failure, meteorologist Matt Lunds told the Texas Tribune. It was a heartbreaking breakdown in communication. The warnings were there. They just didn't get to the people in time. So, ladies and gentlemen, the point being, in much of that area where the flood took place, they had no cell phone connection. Even if they had cell phones on, it was at wee hours of the morning. And let me ask you a question. How many of you turn your cell phone off at night? Do you put it on silent at night so you don't get bing, bing, bing with all of the text messages and the emails and so forth dropping down? Most people do. So if they had even had cell phone service, and I understand in the camp, ones in the camp were not allowed to have cell phones. It was a point of focusing on studying the Word, focusing on spiritual issues. It was not a focus on the handheld device. But even if that had not been the case, they just simply did not get the warning. But yet we find a major, major, major hue and cry that it is the National Weather Association, it is NOAA that is responsible, because President Trump had said he was going to reduce the staff at NOAA, etc. And the truth is that there are about four times the number of people on duty to warn about the weather and to take care of the notices going out that normally would be in that part anyway. But yet they're blaming President Trump. It is the Trump syndrome. It is the Trump derangement syndrome that I believe is we're seeing now. It's been bad enough, but we're seeing now some major consequences of the Trump derangement syndrome that I don't know how we're going to get to where we need to go. And it's where we're finding the ones on the left calling right wrong and wrong right. That's what the Bible tells us about in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. That there'll come a day when wrong will be right and right will be wrong. And we're witnessing that today. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes, sir. Go ahead with your question.
I tell you. They blame President Trump if a person sneezes. They're going to blame him.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to blame him.
That's exactly right. And it's a sad commentary when we see that taking place.
Right.
And I believe it's time we recognize that their whole, and I talked about it on the broadcast yesterday, there are a whole lot of pieces come into the puzzle. For example, and I just touch on it by way of passing, in the state of Texas since the late 50s, they've used cloud seeding to try to make it rain. It's where man has been trying to usurp his authority over nature rather than God letting it rain where he wants it to rain, when he wants it to rain, how he wants it to rain. And I believe what we're seeing, and I touched on it yesterday, and I'll just briefly digress to say that again today. I believe we're witnessing the end result of man-made catastrophic situations with the weather. We've witnessed that through many of the recent hurricanes of late. The state of Florida has just passed legislation, signed into law the first of this month, that it's illegal in the state of Florida to do cloud seeding. The state of Georgia has just introduced legislation. If signed, it will make it illegal to do cloud seeding. And yet that's been taking place across the nation, and I understand, based on my own research, in some many places around the world. It's where man has decided that we can make it rain when God doesn't give us rain. There are a whole lot of things that's wrong with that, and I think we're seeing the results of it. But yet it's being blamed on President Trump. So, Kenneth, we need to keep praying and asking God to give wisdom for President Trump to protect his life.
Can I ask one more question?
Go ahead quickly.
I'm going to tell you, China, Russia, they have the same technology that we have. And like you said, I said, man, I love my government. I do. I'm less than 100 years old. But my governor has been on point.
Absolutely. I'm thankful that he's the promulgator and the pusher of that Senate bill that brought about the signing of it that says it's illegal in the state of Florida. I believe it's something like a $5,000 fine and 5 years in jail or something like that for anybody that does the cloud seeding. And by the way, there's a serious aspect to that. Rainmaker.com, RainmakerInc.com is located in South Florida. And that's one of the major promulgators, cloud seeding, and has been used in many, many other states. So it demands our prayer, our keep looking up and asking God to give wisdom and strength and protection for President Trump. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call. Keep praying, keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh, the scripture tells us. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
How are you today, Dr. Youngblood?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. That was a Coast Guard rescue swimmer.
Yes.
Christy Noem recognized that young gentleman there. They're kind of like human fish without gills. They are very good at swimming. Speaking of God's earth and the environment, we as caretakers of that environment need to be aware of our environment. If you look back on history, and particularly for this area, for any semi-arid portion of any land, you introduce a lot of water, you're going to have flash flooding. If you look up some of the programs that were initiated during Franklin Delano Roosevelt, starting the Great Depression there, look up around the Tennessee-Ohio Valley area and the dams and water control they put up there, because that area was prone to flash flooding. And the population was getting to the point where it was creating difficulties for people that lived in that area until they went with those public works. This area, Guadalupe, is the same way. As you introduce more humans into an environment that can, you know, it's no different than living in Florida. If you live in Florida, you know there's going to be hurricanes. You live in a semi-arid area there, be aware of the low-lying features and what heavy rain can do. The Democrats blaming Trump for this, or the national, the NOAA for this, is kind of silly. It's a tragedy. It occurred. Now's not the time to cast blame, but it's time to for prayer, for rebuilding, and for considerations to keep this from occurring again, because it happened in 1987 in the same area where I think 10 or more young women died in this very area from the exact same thing.
Jim, you're exactly right. If I can pose a couple of questions for you and get your take on it. Are you familiar with the process called cloud seeding? And are you familiar
Yes.
with what the results are? And what happens with that, I'm looking at a headline that says, Texas floods after mysterious blue rain linked to seven state-run cloud seeding programs covering 31 million acres. Texas just got hit with the flood surge that's turning heads and raising questions, this article says. The water came fast. The damage came faster. But what's catching attention isn't just the destruction. It's the color. Blue rain fell across parts of the state in weeks leading up to the July floods. Residents in West Texas, the Panhandle, and parts of South Texas reported rain with a bluish tint. That's not folklore. That's documentation. And now seven states run cloud seeding programs are under the microscope. The state's history, talking about California, Texas, with weather modification, goes back decades. It was during the 1950s, Texans tried everything from explosive balloons to dry ice. By 1967, the legislature had passed a law to regulate weather modification. Federal and state monies poured into the research. By the 1990s, Texas launched a coordinated cloud seeding program. Today, seven active projects covering 31 million acres in Texas. That's one-sixth of the state's landmass. Aircraft equipped with silver iodides, flares, target areas of the clouds. The goal is simple. Make it rain. And the article goes further and further. What are your thoughts about mankind trying to be God and deciding where it's going to rain and how we're going to make it rain? What does it do?
Well, the way I understand it, you're seeding the clouds with particulate matter. That particulate matter, then the water vapor clumps onto it. Once it becomes heavy enough, then it falls from the sky. It's part of the what they call evaporation, condensation, precipitation cycle that God has set up on the planet here. You start messing with those natural occurrences there, you could throw things out of whack. You can create an area that has lesser rain. Let's say those clouds, God wanted those clouds to water a certain area, and then you turn around and you deprive that water of that area by seeding it before it gets to that area. So you're messing with the ecology of how God designed our planet to work. One of the things I know from natural rainfall is that lightning that occurs in there actually puts nitrogen into the water, which then is a fertilizer. Outside of that, you're interrupting these cycles. And if you want to water an area, use irrigation. Don't be messing with the clouds. I mean,
it is what I call the mad scientist, where there's a mindset that we're going to overthrow God and we're going to make it rain where we want it to rain. In fact, Jim, if I may be bold enough, it is my most humble opinion that what we've witnessed in the past many, many years now, in recent years in particular, with major catastrophic weather results, i.e. Hurricane Helene, et cetera, the devastation up in North Carolina, only to find out that just a few weeks before it hit the North Carolina area, they had done the cloud seeding. I believe that we're witnessing the end result in Texas at this very moment. Anybody can call and challenge if they'd like to. I believe we're witnessing, though, in Texas at this moment, the result of mankind trying to intervene and make it rain in ways and fashions that God never intended. It is God that is the one that causes it to rain on the good, the just, and the unjust. It is God that said in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, and I'll paraphrase, that until the end of time, there'll be your four seasons. That is stated very clearly in Genesis 8, 22. And yet somehow, some way, Jim, I believe that man has gotten to the point that we feel somehow that we are brilliant enough, intellectual enough, and powerful enough to make it rain or to do other things that God doesn't intend. But yet all of this now is being blamed on President Trump. Trump is the cause of this flood. In fact, one dear person, I'm trying to be benevolent, just called in to one of the call-in lines on television this morning on Early News and said that Trump is now saying that he's going to Texas to visit the devastated area on Friday. She said he'll get there and make promises and then say, we're going to pray for the people, etc. And she then was very castigating and demeaning of Trump and a prayer. She said, we know that he can't do anything, and prayer so far has not had any benefit. So what's the use of him going to Texas? What do you say about people like that? And the pediatrician that said that the folks that got hit with the floods in Texas are mostly MAGA people. They voted for Trump, and so they get what they deserve. How do you relate to that?
To be quite honest, there's a different mindset when it comes to conservatives versus those on the left. Those on the left will take any and everything they possibly can and turn it into a political issue because they don't want to use reason. One of the scriptures you just brought up, let us reason together. They've been told to